RiggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Happy Friday, and welcome into the game. Tyler Dreiling, Corey Dean, and Grant Flanders is the crew with you for the next couple of hours. John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner on their way to the capital city. Manhattan High basketball, both the boys and girls in action tonight against the Hayden Wildcats, including for the boys, matchup against one of the top recruits in the country and a guy that K-State definitely wants to get in on. It'll be a fun matchup. You can hear all the action here on KMAN with the girls starting about 6 o'clock, boys to follow from Hayden High School in Topeka. In this show, we'll talk about K-State basketball and the hellish three-game stretch in which they are about to embark that starts tomorrow at Baylor. Three straight games against top 10 opponents. What chance does K-State have of finding a way to get at least one victory over the next three games? We'll talk about that. Of course, the Super Bowl is on Sunday. I've compiled a list of my Super Bowl party do's and don'ts. I want to run those by the guys, see especially what Corey has to think about a couple of these. It's going to be a fun segment.
Do prepare yourself starting today. You should start hydrating now for Sunday.
Start hydrating. I'd recommend
stretching,
hitting the gym maybe today.
No, that would ruin your conditioning.
I mean, for a lot of people, your New Year's resolutions don't start until after Super Bowl Sunday.
I intentionally don't start mine until after Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. So we're gonna have a list of the Super Bowl party do's and don'ts. We're hoping to be joined by Kelly in Vegas in the second hour to get her perspective on the Super Bowl and everything gambling-wise there. If you listened to yesterday's show, John in Vegas made some predictions with some Super Bowl prop bets, and one of them has actually already been decided, believe it or not, as Tiger Woods withdrew from his tournament in Dubai. Yeah. So there's no longer a question of...
John's not betting on will Luke Bryan wear a hat during the Star-Spangled Banner?
He's betting on what kind of pants he's wearing. It's jeans versus anything else. And, we both picked jeans. We both picked jeans, absolutely. Some less-than-stellar updates out of Waco and the Art Briles scandal that continues to escalate and got even worse with some text messages of his coming out yesterday. We'll also have You Can't Be Serious to finish off the show at 5:50. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Love to get your thoughts on K-State basketball and what's going to be taking place over the next 7 to 8 days. K-State with Baylor tomorrow in Waco, then they host Kansas on Monday, and then it's to the country roads of West Virginia coming up next Saturday. Out of those three games, let's just start right here. Out of those three games, which one do you think is the most winnable for K-State?
Most winnable out of the next three.
The easy answer...
West Virginia.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I think that the easy answer is to say KU at home on Big Monday.
No.
But I actually disagree. And it doesn't really have a lot to do with K-State's matchup against KU. I mean, nothing to do with that, because what we know is that when K-State and KU play each other in Bramlage, basically all bets are off. You don't really know what's going to happen. KU has the talent to beat K-State by 20. But K-State, you know, we saw what happened the first time around when they played in Lawrence. K-State played better than KU in that basketball game, came up short. But I actually think that you could make the case that tomorrow's game in Waco is the most winnable for K-State. And the reason I say that, and again, it sounds crazy because K-State played really well against KU once and they've beaten West Virginia already.
Right.
But the reason I say Baylor is for a reason that I hope that K-State's coaches and players are not talking about at all, because it would be really bad to hear it come from their mouths. I don't know if Baylor cares about this game. Baylor is coming off of its own battle at Allen Fieldhouse earlier this week. Tough loss. And of course, what do we know about winning the Big 12 or ending that 12-year streak for Kansas? If you're going to do that, you have to start by winning at Allen Fieldhouse. And I think that when Big 12 contenders play that game, they put so much of their heart and soul into that one game that when you lose, when you fall just short like that, I think that it stays with you a lot longer than the typical Big 12 game. And so for Baylor, they played pretty well, had a chance in the final couple minutes, didn't get the job done. I'm not sure that they're going to look at this game against K-State and be like, yeah, let's get fired up for this. Let's make sure we beat K-State. I don't know if they're going to be paying a lot of attention to that. Maybe they are. Maybe this was a situation where KU poked the Baylor bear with a stick. But I'm not sure if that's going to be the case. It would not shock me if K-State came out, played well in this game, and I don't know if they win, but at least are in it in the final few minutes.
Could be. You know, keeping it close against Baylor was helped partially the first time around for K-State, as they were able to get, you know, Mano in foul trouble. That's advantage K-State, especially early. And I think that that's maybe more so the key to this one. So just this has just been a team that historically hasn't been fantastic on the road. It doesn't seem to be able
that's to very kind.
Get over in a close game. So in order for that to happen, the first 5 or 6 minutes is pretty important. And if you're ending up with guys with foul trouble or you start being stagnant on offense or taking really bad threes, I also think that this one could get out of hand in a hurry.
But if you want to look at history and say, you know, or look at how poorly K-State has played on the road over the last few seasons, and that's totally fair, but something else that you could also say that maybe gives K-State a benefit is that Bruce Weber has a knack for losing or getting into these situations where the fans are very frustrated, you've lost a few games in a row, and then has a knack for just finding a way to win a game that you don't think K-State should win, and that brings everybody back in. I'm definitely reminded of some of the games over the last couple of years, beating number one Oklahoma at home last year, by the way. I mean, that was in the midst of
that
a stretch where K-State,
out of nowhere.
Right. K-State was not playing very good basketball. They had just lost by 18 points at KU the previous game. And they were 13-9 going into that game, and they were 2-7 in Big 12 play. And all of a sudden, you get that win, and it's not out of the realm of possibility for you to make the NCAA tournament at that point once you get that win. And there have been other examples, too. So that's one of the reasons that I think that K-State may have a chance in this is that sometimes when you least expect it is when they actually come out and perform at a high level. That's kind of frustrating.
Right.
It's not ideal, and it shouldn't be the case. You should expect K-State to have 100% enthusiasm toward every game, but it is what it is. if K-State – I'll phrase it this way – if K-State won at Baylor, I would be surprised, but I would not be surprised at all if they led by 8 points at halftime. I'll put it that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's been flashes where this team's played great.
Yeah. When they are, we talked about it yesterday, when those top six guys
are on,
when they're on, K-State is a very good team.
It's very good. The trick is don't fall asleep at the wheel at some point. You can't get down 20 to Iowa State. You can't fall asleep at the end of the game with a chance to win it against TCU. You know, I mean, there's so many opportunities where there's been an opportunity right there to get over, and you just haven't got over. Three in a row against top 10 teams is crazy. Two of them on the road, worse. So I think this team's really looking at a stretch that if you don't jump up and get somebody in this next three, you're probably staring at needing to get at least four, if not five, of your final six in order to have a realistic shot.
Which are much more winnable games, but you're not going to feel
great. But then the
momentum
potentially sucks. You could be rolling into that one on a six-game losing streak.
Right,
and
you're
that's not good.
You're not going to, even if Texas and Oklahoma are the bottom two teams in the Big 12, you're not going to go into those road games with a lot of confidence.
Well, and here's where I maybe like West Virginia a little bit, just because when K-State moved the ball against the press, they were getting good looks against West Virginia. They seem to have kind of figured that out, and that's a game where a guy like Wesley Iwundu is a big advantage because he's a big guy who can handle the ball, gives you more options bringing the ball up the court. They did very well against the West Virginia press. And West Virginia's going to do that in Morgantown. They're going to stick with it. That's the way that they play. And West Virginia, that's also a team that swung back and forth between playing really well and not playing very well at the same time. So I think that that's potentially a winnable game. On the road is always going to be tough against a Bob Huggins team, but that's one that K-State could get done.
A lot of what I've had to say about K-State maybe having a chance to win this game deals in the emotion and the and what's going on between the years. If you want to look at it with X's and O's, not great, this matchup for K-State. And the biggest reason for that is rebounding. K-State has been the worst team in the Big 12 rebounding so far this year. I've been pretty surprised by that because DJ Johnson is a very good rebounder, and you would figure that they would get enough out of a Dean Wade, Wesley Iwundu, Xavier Sneed, some of those other guys in the post to be serviceable in that category, but they haven't been good this year, and that is exactly what Baylor does very, very well. They crash the boards. They create a lot of second-chance opportunities. You could make the case that K-State lost to TCU because of the Horned Frogs' second-chance opportunities down the stretch, and I think you could say that for a couple other losses for K-State this season. So, but that in itself goes back to what I said about does Baylor care about this game, because rebounding is a hustle stat, right? If you're crashing the boards offensively, that means that you want to be there. If you're putting up a shot and just watching it and hoping it goes in, that's a sign that you don't really want to be there. So maybe there's a combination of effects there that if Baylor isn't very interested, they're not going to be following their shot as much, they're just not going to be as physical, and that's going to be a key if K-State's going to win this game, because a motivated Baylor is not a team that K-State can defeat in Waco.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They're not number two in the country with only two losses.
That's right. That is exactly right. We're going to head to our first break here on the show. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we'll have my Super Bowl watch party do's and don'ts. Really looking forward to that. A new NFL Combine rule will keep Joe Mixon from receiving an invite to the Combine, but it sparks an interesting debate in the process. We'll get into that a little bit later in this hour. Coming up next, the trouble continues for Kansas basketball, but not on the court, it's off the court, and it's spawning a very predictable reaction from fans in Lawrence. I'll explain coming up next.